talking, driving in the car, that I wholeheartedly endorse Brother Rocky and his wife and family. The only challenge he faces is, can the church do it? You know, just stepping up. The pastor can only do what the people bring forth in obedience to the Lord. And so, you know, I have a message out of the book of Ezra. The pastor may have a vision. He may have a burden. He may have a desire. But it can only go forth when you have the carpenters, when you have the cooks, when you have the masonries, when you have those people to come together, lock arms, to develop that vision. I'm not going to bring that message tonight, but it's basically a simple Thanksgiving message. It's really a reminder. It's a reminder. You know, I have a picture of my son. I'm sure most of you have heard about the death of my friend Stephen Terrell over in Baghdad. He and I worked together in the same at Crown College, and then my daughter told me they showed up for the family showed up last Sunday at church, Brother Sexton, and that little boy that you see here, that little boy would never know Dad. He would only be told stories of his father, and Stephen. As a matter of fact, Stephen's footprint is in our ministry, and many times our prayer letters have Crabtree Classics. Most pastors don't read our prayer letter. They just skip everything and go to the Crabtree Classics. And so I don't know how many times I've heard people say they want to read the Crabtree Classics before they read anything else. But Stephen, we got that idea from Stephen. And if you look at some of the things in our ministry of how the things are, our prayer letter, prayer card is put together, it was put together by Stephen. My son was 16 years old when we went on deputation. And so Scotty put it together, but he emulated ideas from Stephen. And so I'm thankful for Brother Stephen. And, you know, tonight, if you have a father at home, if you do, you have something to be thankful for. If you have your mother at home, you have something to be thankful for. If you've been raised in a Christian home, you have something to be thankful for. I was blessed to be with Melanie's church a couple weeks ago. Their pastor had Brother Bill Gluck, sorry. I met him a year earlier, had been in the same church for 55 years. That's an incredible testimony. It really is an incredible testimony. 55 years. And so I admire, they love Melanie, and they respect her. They thank God for what they've used her. Melanie never had much of a home life from what I gathered while I was there, but she had people in the church that loved her, brought her into the home, showed her how to live the Christian life, and now she's emulating it through her kids. Her kids will probably never fully appreciate what Rocky and Melanie have gone through to get to the point where they enjoy the benefits of all what people have done for them. And the truth of the matter is, we just hope and pray that the children grasp what and how good God has been to him. I've known Rocky since he was a young teenage boy. I used to go to Iowa and preaching Depth Camp up there for Dave Smith, and Brother Rocky would be there. And that's a friend. He's named Rocky, but in his official name, Barack. But I'm thankful for Rocky and his testimony, and I love the fact that he's a bus kid. And I want to tell you this: I'm a bus kid. And so it's possible that God can use anyone. If he can use us, he can use anyone. And God chooses the foolish. He chooses the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. I've told you this before, but if God, when I was 11 years old, the state of Ohio told my mother I was mentally retarded. I never one time in all my 23 years working in Oklahoma City with Jim Bender did I ever tell him that I was mentally retarded, because he might go along with and agree with that. I was with Brother Fender before he passed away up in John Say's church up in Washington, D.C. area. When I was up there, Brother Shay had me come up and say a few words, and Brother Fender, by now, he's losing his hearing, and he can't hear very well. He's very frail, and he was sitting in the very back of the auditorium, leaning against the wall, and I told the testimony, and I said, you know, I never one time told that to the church in the entire 23 years. I don't know why, but it never occurred to me to tell that as part of my story. I think God was just saving me, but I never told that part of the testimony. What Dr. Fender was sitting in the back row, in the very, very back row, again, leaning against the wall, and he never caught what I said. And I said, now you know why. I never told Jim Fender that I was mentally retarded, and the whole place just roared, laughed. And because you have to understand who Brother Fender is. I'm thankful for Brother Fender. But you know, here tonight, I want to just share with you. I told Brother Larson I don't plan on being any longer than 30 minutes. If it's possible, I can do it. I remember one of the best messages, you told me it that way, but one of the best blessings that came out of our ministry was when I had 14 minutes to finish a message. A multimillionaire heard that message, and he was so touched by the message that he ended up coming and helping and serving and donating to our church. He's probably given over $150,000 total, all because he heard a 14-minute message. And he left his church because the pastor in the Independent Baptist Church had a son who was a homosexual. That's not the pastor's fault, but the problem that he was having with it was the fact that he was singing in church playing the piano. And then there was the deacon of the same church who was also, the deacon's son was singing and singing in church. So he could no longer handle that. Oh, he didn't handle that at all, but he shortly after had to leave it. Now, the truth of the matter is God loves sinners, but God does not love your sin. So therefore, sin has to be dealt with. And here it is now. But tonight, I really want to speak on this very simple topic. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5. I don't plan on getting off on saying a whole lot of different things tonight. I don't even think I'll leave the pulpit, and if that's possible. Do I need this?
No.
Okay. Because I feel like Barney Fife, you know. So, okay. It's okay. That thing aiming right at me, you know, right by my eyeball. So, anyway, I'm thankful, Brother Larson, that he asked me to give him a break. He sat there at the meal table tonight, eating up, filling up, and I had to be light because he said, I'm not preaching tonight, so you go. Anyway. Well, I'm thankful, Brother, that God brought friends, and we are loyal to you. We're loyal friends. We're faithful friends, and I can truly say he's one of the friends that we stay with. We, through the thick and thin, we've been there for each other, and I'm thankful for him. When I have a heart broke, I call him, and when he's heartbroken, I hear about it. Amen. I won't go into that one. So, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Father, we love you tonight. We pray, Lord, that you'll use me in the next few moments in spite of me. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, let us say a few words tonight just to be reminded of what it means to be thankful. And Father, I pray that you'll help us, Lord, daily live a thankful life. Father, I pray that you'll empower me and use me in spite of us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and to the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks always for all things unto God. Dr. David Gibbs will oftentimes receive a phone call. He'll receive a phone call from troubled churches all across the country. Some of these troubles that they're facing are very, very devastating. It could put the ministry on the verge of bankruptcy. It could be. I heard recently about a ministry that found out that it's a total of more than 30 years had did not know that they were supposed to pay taxes. And yet, when it was come out that they had to pay, they had sold the building unbeknown to the pastor. Think about that. Someone sells your building. You don't know they sold your building. And that happens. So you think about this. Now, and then you go through some heartaches where you're falsely accused by someone in the church. And so often things happen in our life that we don't understand. And we get devastated, and sometimes we lose sleep, and we can't go to bed at night because we're in such a heartbroken state that it becomes very difficult to function. There are some times when we become so depressed, and so discouraged, and so distraught by the situation that which we're facing that we don't know what to do and how to go forward. David Gibbs said this to the pastors who called him. And one of the very first things David Gibbs would tell them, he says, "Brother, let's be reminded, first of all, in all things we give thanks to God." So there may be situations that we don't understand. I remember receiving a phone call. On July the 10th at 1:30 p.m. in the afternoon, on a Friday afternoon, leaving my office desk and going outside to retrieve the mail. When I got out there, I saw a letter from the deacons of the church that owned the building. And I opened the letter, and the letter says to me, it says, you have 30 days to purchase the building or move out. Can you imagine? We've already put at least $20,000 into the building, believing that we're going to stay there for at least 5 to 10 years. And it's understood that a man gives you his word that you're going to stay there 5, 10 years. And now they say, you have 30 days to move out. After you've done all of this fix-up, let me remind you, God governs the affairs of man. I didn't know what God was doing that day, but going back, this is on Friday at 1:30, go back to Wednesday, I was standing there at our new media, all the equipment that was given to us, over $20,000 worth of equipment was sitting there, and I was grinning from ear to ear, looking at this, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm not saying it out loud, but I'm thinking we've done too much. We've done enough work to this building that I cannot go forward because we do not own the building. It would not be wise to put any more money into the building. But yet, this equipment, I'm sitting here watching these men put this equipment together, and I'm leaning on the media area, I'm leaning on the wall of it, and I'm just grinning and thanking God, looking at these things. I don't understand any of this equipment, but I understand it's essential to the church and what we're wanting to move forward. And so I'm thinking to myself, thanking God for it. We can't go forward any farther than this. And then now this is Wednesday. Then on Friday, I get a letter saying you have 30 days to buy the building or move out. Understand, we have no businessmen in our church. We just have a bunch of blue-collar workers that work together to bring in, and they're baby Christians trying to learn how to serve God and how to give and how to pray and all of those things. On Saturday morning, I went to my office, and I said, and I opened my Bible. I just flipped it open, and Isaiah 55:8-9. Is it not I who made the deaf, the dumb? That's not the first I'm thinking. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. I didn't understand everything that God was about to do, but I was devastated that morning. I was distraught that morning, not knowing how we're going to go forward. I was not prepared to tell the people of the church that this is what we have to do after all of this work and all of this energy, all of this excitement, all of this momentum going on in the church. God bringing people, visitors, 2 or 3 visitors per week. Every week we have on the average, 3 to 4 visitors per week. Even to this day, 4.5 years later, it's still on the average 3 to 4 visitors per week, first-time visitors. And God continues to bring these people in, and I'm watching how God's blessing, and then all of a sudden, boom, it feels like the walls cave in. And I remember when I when I when I that morning, as I sat there and I read my Bible, and before I began to go out into the property, if you walk around that property three times around, you'd have walked 1 mile. As I began the journey, not knowing what the future held, I had to begin to walk that journey, and the very first few steps, the Lord said to me as clear as day, He said, "This is going to be your Red Sea." I did not understand it. I did not understand what God was going to do. But He said, "Lord," He said to me as clear as day, as clear as the voice that I hear my wife, He says that this is going to be your Red Sea. So for the next 4 months, it went on for 6 months, but for the next four months, I was devastated, and I spent hours on that particular day. I was there walking that property 9 hours from the morning till evening, went back home, and I wasn't in no position to eat a meal, then go back and pray again for another couple of hours walking that property, and I continued to do that morning, noon, and evening. For the next 4 months, begin to pray. I'd be out there in the middle of the field, kneeling down in my heart, kneeling down in the middle of the field, weeping in the broad daylight. More than 5,000 cars coming by the building every day, and the school system's right across the street, surrounded by projects running $650,000 homes sitting around. I come to find out later, these neighbors begin to wonder what's going on with this guy. But I was praying and walking and pleading with God and weeping, and my friends would call me, I had to FaceTime everybody I talked to on the phone, and they look at me and said, "Man, you've got to get away from this. It's about ready to kill. It's going to break you." I was all besides myself. But I didn't know what God was doing. Keep in mind, on Wednesday, it occurred to me that we can't go forward anymore. But now God is trying, He's bringing me to a position on Friday. He says, "Now I'm going to have to take you to the next level." Now, I'm walking around this building, and I'm thinking, how are we going to afford $100,000? How are we going to, maybe he wants $200,000. He wants us to make an offer. The building was given to them free a year and a half earlier with the understanding we'd stay in there 5 to 10 years and with the understanding that they will never sell it. The four women who gave it to him, it used to be a Southern Baptist church, and it was supposed to remain there in the ministry for the rest of eternity, if you would. That's what the plan was. That's why they gave it to him. But yet now they're saying they're going to take the property. They're going to sell it. So they said to me, "I want you to make the first offer." Well, I didn't know how to make the first offer. I didn't want to feel like a fool. We didn't have no money in the offerings. I mean, we barely had $1,000 to come in. It was in our savings, $1,000. But God was using all of these things, and unbeknown to me, I began to weep and to pray and to walk and plead with God. And I was I remember after 4 months, I finally get a text from the landlord on a Saturday evening. He said, "Now we have decided to move forward and get a realtor." When I looked on my phone and I saw that on my phone, I closed my phone. I had that Saturday night around 6 or 7 p.m. I had just begun to walk around that property. I was 3/4 done on the first lap, and I looked at the text and said, we have decided to get a realtor. I closed my phone, put it in my pocket, and I got in my car, went home, and I gave up. On Monday morning, this is Saturday, and I had not told the people of the church what I had just received. I had to continue forward like nothing was going on. I had a deaf lady who received Christ, and she came. She looked at me, and she just got saved, and she came from a Catholic background. She looked at me, and she said, "Pastor, is it possible? Does God really heal prayer?" So I began to use that phrase and said, "Lord, is it true that, Lord, if you answer prayers, can you show Berdina you answer prayers?" That was my plea and that was my prayer. We continued to pray, but on Monday morning, I sat there. Now Sunday is done with, and I sat there at the media section, and I sat in the chair, and I called a businessman up in Wisconsin, and I'm weeping and praying. And I'm weeping. And he looked at me. Now, we've talked before. We've been on the phone several times before. But he looked at me, and he said, "Scott, let me take over the negotiations. I'm glad to do that." But I had no deacons in our church because we were a new church. We have no qualified deacons. We were new, and we had no one I can really lean on. I can lean on and share these things with. There was no, I had to carry the whole thing, and all of this so-called church planting business was all brand spanking new. They made a decision to put the building on the market for $2.5 million. I'm wondering how we're going to come up to $100,000. So Frank said, let me take over the negotiations. He was able to believe it or not. You won't believe this or not. $100,000, how are we going to pay for it? How are we going to come up to $100,000? How are we going to pay for this? How are we going? Maybe I can raise $100,000. Maybe I can raise $200,000. Maybe we can, the Lord can bring this. Maybe the Lord can bring this about. But keep in mind, on Wednesday, there's no further. We can't move further. We can't move forward anymore as far as improving this building. And again, visitors are coming. People getting saved. People getting baptized. People are growing in the Lord. The excitement's still in the air. Momentum's still going great. Now you got to move in. You got to buy the building and move out. When they said $2.5 million, you can imagine my wife, she's a warrior. She's not a soldier. She's a warrior. And she's not the one to give up. Her daddy was a church planner, so she's seasoned in the ministry and to the degrees of what churches do and what pastors go through much more than I am. But a couple, 3 months earlier, she started going through the shelves and going, and maybe, okay, she's the person that likes to get ready early. She'll get ready early. Sometimes that's too early. Sometimes we get ready so early that we end up getting ready too early that we lost it. I mean, you know, like, I can't really give you specifics at the moment, but it's like we've lost money because we've gotten ready too early. You ever done that? Does that make sense? Well, so she's starting to throw some of these things that are on the shelf, put them in a box. And I walk into the office at the church. I said, honey, don't do that. I said, honey, don't do that. I didn't want to see it. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't ready to say, wrap it up. But when he said $2.5 million, can you imagine what a little depth church with $1,000 in savings accounts can do? I'm like, we can't go. We got it. So the businessman says to me, he said, let me take over the negotiation. So I'm out and about. I'm at the gym. I'm working out. I don't look like it right now. I've gotten away from it. I'm going to get back to it. The deaf for the Pastor's Appreciation Month, they bought me a membership at the YMCA, so I got to get back into it. I don't want to come back here and bloated. I want to look like Rocky, man. I'm looking to have a six pack. That's my dream body right there. That's my dream body. But I remember them saying, oh yeah. It's my dream body until Friday after you get done with Thanksgiving. But I remember saying $2.5 million, I'm at the gym, and I get a text from the landlord that we've decided to let you buy the building for $1.3 million. You would not believe how excited I was. You laugh. I was literally excited that we offered $1.35 million, but $1.4 million, but they said we'll take $100,000 off for the renovation. And then they came back, and they said, no, we'll take $1.35. Okay, fine, stop. So we started going forward, and the businessman said, let's go buy a building. He didn't want us to move out of the building. He said, let's go buy the building. He put all the money forward. Risk. He knows the debt. He's worked with the deaf for 40 years. But I want to say, let me say this to you. My friend Frank and Ursula, God brought them together. I had a 25-year absence of them. And then God brought them back. When I began deputation, God brought them back into my life. And unbeknown to me, how God was going to use them in the future of our ministry. God brings everything together about, you know, when I started deputation some 8 years ago, I said, I kind of complained, man, I've been in the ministry for 35 years, and I've got a lot of people out there that know me, and I thought, well, man, why don't I just send them an email? Can you support me? You know, like the Southern Baptist Church does. But I want to tell you something this. I want to tell you something. Deputation is one of the greatest times in our ministry. Even my children enjoy the deputation. They leave from church, they get out, they leave a building, and they get into the car, they cry. I said, Dad, every time we get to love people, get around people, we have to pack up again and move again. And my kids always ask me, said, Dad, Mom, is the pastor old? Sorry. Because if the pastor's old, I mean, they don't have no kids. But I remember him telling me, let's go buy a building. $1.35 million. 5 acres. The person who's going to buy the building would have raised, tore the building down because the building was so old. It was built in 1967. There was nothing else they could do with it. You can't remodel it. You can't fix it and use it for a business world today. But he said, I want to go buy a building. We bought the building, and a year and a half later, after we signed the papers, over 650 plus thousand have been paid for already. How can God do that? Now, I don't understand it. Now, the man who gave us the money gave me a 5-year challenge. He said, I want to try to pay it off in 5 years, interest free. One time he sent $10,000 and said, he sent $10,000 to us and said, put this toward the building. I said, oh, okay, thank you. And then toward the end of the year, I told him, we're short of our goal. And then he found out about it. Then he's like $27,000 short of a goal. And he sent me a check for $40,000. And I called Frank up. I said, Frank, this is the wrong way around. I'm supposed to be paying you. Our brother Larson knows him. He sat in the kitchen table, Brother Frank's kitchen table with us. We were on his way to see to help his dad, mom, estate. His dad passed away. We were on the way. We stopped in to see Frank. Now, Frank's a very simple man. He's very simple. If you go to his house and you have lunch, this is the truth. His wife will bring a wiener out. She'll give you a loaf of bread. And she'll give you some ketchup, slap it together, and eat it. Is that what happened? That's what we had. But they loved the Lord. They loved the Lord, and they just want to do what they can to what God's given them to give back. Now I tend to tell this story tonight because I want to say this: in all things, give thanks. I didn't like the moment when we got the news. Brother Larson and I were talking to something. There was one episode. How many kids you got? Seven? Seven kids. How many girls? Four girls. There was one episode in his life that really changed the way he outlooked of any girl that dates his girls. What did I say? No. I love you. There was an outlook. There's something that happened one of his girls that changed how he approaches the boys that come and ask him for a date with his girl. And that episode changed him. Now I feel bad for the next three because I became very hard for the next three to have a boyfriend. Now, many of you may know the story. I'm not going to go into it. But here's what I'm trying to say. I asked Miss Patty. I said, Miss Patty, did that help or hurt Lindsay when it's all done? And she said to me, pause for a moment, it helped her. in the end, it helped her. Now, I'm sitting here thinking about how in the world we're going to go forward and build this building and all of this money that's been invested into this building, and we're going to lose it. We're going to close shop. Are we going to be able to even continue as a church? Now, keep in mind, 2.5 years earlier, I had been told that a Sunday school building we were using, that I found out 2 months after we were using the building, that I could no longer, I was told then that I had to move out. I don't have time to go into all of it. But God daily loads us with benefits. Let's go to Isaiah. Let's go to Psalm 68. I told you I'd be 30 minutes, so I really got to. I want to keep my word here. Psalm 68. I'm sorry. I can't even find Psalms. I'm following my markers. I probably shouldn't follow my markers here. So it's Psalm 68. Psalm 68. He says. Obviously, I'm all lost here. Sorry. Psalm 68 and verse number 19. I want to think about this. Blessed be the Lord who daily loaded us with benefits. If you're struggling tonight, there's God has a bird's eye view that he's trying to bring something about. He's loading you with benefits, and on a daily basis, you have no idea what he's doing. God's mercies is renewed every day. We know the Lamentation chapter 3, verse 20. My soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. God uses events in your life to humble you. He humbles you. He brings you to a point that you submit. I preached a message a couple weeks back, and I said, and the title of the message was, Does God Really Love Me? And one of the things I said is that the offense that God uses to bring you back to him is he often uses trials and troubles in your life. It's amazing how often when we're going through a trial or a struggle, we ache over that. Our stomach is churning over that. Our heart is broken over that. We do not desire that heartbroken moment, but yet God brings that about to bring us closer to him. I don't know how many times that things have happened in my life that each and every time when something happens, instead of running from God, I run to God. God is daily loading me with benefits. Lamentation chapter 3, verse 23, the mercies, they're new every morning. His faithfulness is great. I'm not quoting, I'm just stating it. Great is thy faithfulness, what it is. But here, what you think about it this evening, how God overlooks and he protects you and me. God even brings a little thing called bee. A little bee. A bee that hums the flowers and the plants and the works and the efforts, their work, and they make great efforts. Have you ever looked at your plate and looked on that plate and thank God for the bee? Yes, I said the bubble bee, the bee. Have you ever looked at your plate and said, thank God for that bee? Because if it had not been for the bee, they pollinate the vegetables and the fruits each every day that we enjoy. It is estimated that 1/3 of all the food that we eat is dependent upon the pollination from bees. Let me help you out even further. Have you ever considered that God, who daily loads us with benefits, brings about this thing called cow? A cow. We take it for granted. We enjoy so much from the cow, but let me help you out a little bit. A cow, not only does it give vitamin D and B and protein from meats. Now watch this, I'm not trying to be funny. I told Brother Larson about this earlier. He's like, oh, I want to make sure. But I mean, did you know that even the cow urine has a natural disinfection to cure cancer? You're all looking at me like. It not only. I'm going somewhere. Hang on for it with me. The cow urine has a natural disinfectant to cure cancer, heart disease, liver disease, kidney disease, and it can go even further. It can help you with your nose and your throat and your cough and your cold and even your migraine headaches. Now, I'm not recommending go drink it. I studied this. You laugh and you think about these things. The cow urine goes even further, watch this, it goes even further to assist in killing poison that may enter your body. It protects the heart and the brain. Now hang on, stay with me. We go to the seals and the fish and how they provide vitamins that are vital to good health. Birds and chickens, they bring meat. They help with, yeah, birds help with pest control. Birds help your food in the field to grow by watching over the field and which is trying to grow and go down and eat and eats the insects. They watch and they find their food at the farm garden and eat those bugs. They in turn provide protection from disease, because they have taken care of the pest. The insects maybe leave, they protect from the disease that the insects may leave behind. The birds, like eagles, watch out for the rodents, the mice, and this helps the farmer keep the food safe. Now here's going to give you something else. You laugh about the cows, but let me help you out here. Watch this, skunks. You don't have a thing that you like about skunks, but let me help you, ladies. You probably have a skunk on you tonight. Did you know that some of the most expensive perfume that you wear, there's an ingredient in the skunk, the smell that they call a sack, S-A-C. When the trappers will trap skunks and they'll cut off the sack and sell the sack to the perfume manufacturers. Now you're laughing at me. Now I've studied this. I'm not just throwing out some stupid stuff. If my wife didn't have her back turned on me, she'd be down there. You know, there's one thing, there's one touch that I just don't like from my wife. If I'm saying something or doing, okay, I'm talking. If I'm saying something or doing something, she'll do two things that I don't like. We're sitting here at the table. She'll take this leg. I don't like that. And I speak, hey, you don't have to do that. And there's another touch that I hate. She takes this hand. I hate that. I love you too. Don't put this on camera. Listen to me. I'm not. The skunks, the sack contains a powerful smell. It is cut and sold by trappers to be used in expensive perfumes. God has so much more in the animal kingdom that oversees each and every need and benefit. He benefits mankind by far more. Have you ever thought about the fact that you're coughing? When you cough, it's letting you know that you don't cough just to be coughing. Indication that there's something wrong. If you go into a mist of air and you're coughing, maybe there's something wrong. Thank God you can have the smell. Thank God you can have the feel. Thank God you have your hearing. Thank God you have your touch. Because those things which we take for granted each and every day is something that God has provided for you to protect you while you live here on this earth. I want to say to you, I want to just wind it down, but you know this heart of ours. It beats 4,000, more than 4,000 times an hour, 96,000 times a day, 35 million times a year. If you live the average life of 75 years, your heart has beat more than 2 trillion times in your lifespan. It is the ultimate wheel. These treads outlast far longer than a car or surpass the battery of the car, the bunny, where you watch them go across the TV screen. Yeah. I'm not saying a whole lot tonight, but I'm just simply trying to bring to that God does daily load us with benefits. God gives. God has given us so much. When you sit at that table on Thursday morning and you look at the bountiful supply that God has brought about you, I want you to look at how those things came about. You can think about how that corn came about, how that corn came about. You can thank God for the bees. And if you get some perfume for Christmas, you can thank God for the skunks. Now, I know I'm saying a whole lot tonight, but I just want to say this. God daily loads us with benefits. And if I need anything in my life, I need to learn to be thankful. So the next time I have that trial and that struggle in my life, there's something that I don't like, listen to me, when I complain, it's a test that I failed to pass. When I fail to pass, it's a test that I failed to pass. So therefore, it is shown to me by God that there's improvements to be need to be made. My spiritual life needs to be improved. Did you know that it takes more muscles to frown than it does to smile? So we're much better off just being easy on the body and start smiling. Did you know that when you lose your temper, you let walls down, and God put a barrier up in you. That emotion, God put that wall up. I have a whole series of sermons on the temper and the bitterness and anger. I don't get into it. But here, when that barrier is put up for you, but when you lose your temper, you crumble that barrier and you go across that barrier. When you go across that barrier, it destroys not only you, but destroys what's over there. There are things that God has given you, and we have no clue of what God has done for us on a daily basis. On a daily basis, God's trying to protect us and provide for us and meet the needs of your emotions. And even that, but yet we refuse to acknowledge what God has done for us. So I'm asking you tonight, this Thanksgiving, let's be thankful for the benefits and which God has given us. Father,